Bibles with us tonight into Numbers chapter 6, and we're just thankful for each one that has come back this way tonight. We trust this morning's message was an encouragement, and I know sometimes it sounds like we're trying to beat you down. I'm not trying to beat you down, I'm trying to lift you up, amen? And I tell you what, when you make Jesus your first priority, amen, and you use him as the basis for every decision that you make in life, you'll find out that eventually you'll have a desire to be drawn closer to him than you will anything in this world. Amen? And I tell you, don't forget your Bible reading. I have folks tell me every year, well, I want to read through the Bible and I get started and then I stop. Make Jesus your first priority. Pick up your Bible. Pick up the reading schedule. It's very easy. It's very easy. Roughly 75 to 80 verses a day. Maybe two chapters sometimes, amen? Roughly 75 to 80 verses, and you'll read through the Bible in a year. Amen. It's easy. It's easier than you think. Yeah. But, you know, one secret of reading through the Bible for me is surrounding myself with the Word of God. Amen. I don't care where I'm at. I can reach and grab a Bible in just a moment, amen? And if I got a moment of time, I can reach and grab a Bible. If I'm sitting in a doctor's office and I know I got an appointment at the doctor's, I can take a Bible with me. I can sit and I can read my Bible. Amen? If I've got some time, there's always a Bible there. That's one of the secrets I use to read through the Bible, and it'll help you. Surround yourself with the Word of God, and it makes it easier to read the Word of God. Amen? Numbers chapter 6. If you found Numbers chapter 6, we're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 22. And I know everybody's wore out and tired. Everybody's about ready for the holidays to be over so we can get back to normalcy. We was up to Thursday before we ever got Christmas. We intended on getting Christmas out of the house on Monday, but due to things happening, I wish I never put it up myself. It's a waste of time. You put all this junk up, and a few days later, you take it all back down. Just a total waste of time and effort. Amen. But it's down. It's back in the basement where it belongs. Amen. And I told her, if anything happens to you, those kids got a rude awakening coming. Amen. And come to the Grinch's house. Amen. And by the way, I don't know if you're here, but whoever it is that gives me my Grinch gift every year, I really like the one this year. I got a Grinch Christmas tree ornament, and it says Pastor Dennis right on it. Amen. I think last year I got a big mug. I think it was a T-shirt. One year I got a T-shirt. One year I got a mug. But somebody anonymously leaves me a gift on my desk every year around Christmas time, and I appreciate it. Amen. And I just want to let you know that I love it. It was great. Amen. Numbers chapter 6, verse number 22. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace?
Billy's traveling. Him and his wife went to New Mexico this week to spend 10 days out there or something. But just pray for the folks that are still traveling, the folks that still aren't here. And I'll tell you what, we had a lot of weight this year. Amen. It seemed like a lot of way, and there's a lot sick. And keep Brother Stanley and Sister Reba in your prayers. Brother Stanley called me tonight on the way to church and told me that Sister Reba is hurting very bad. And they've both been down in their backs, but her back is bothering her real bad. She's in a lot of pain, but she won't go to the emergency room tonight. She said there ain't no need, nobody up there to go do anything. So they're going to go in the morning, hopefully, and help her to find some relief. So just remember them in prayer.
As we look in the passage of Scripture, we see the Lord's benediction upon his people. We see the Lord's desire to bless his people and to let his people know his feelings and his admiration and his adoration and his desire to them. He loves his people. I'm glad that we serve a God that loves his people. Amen. And he wants to be a blessing. And he wants to put his name upon his people. I'm glad when I got saved, I got a name. Amen. I share the name that's above every name. Amen. I share that name of Jesus. Amen. That name with him because I am a Christian. He was the Christ. Amen. And I am a Christian, which means I am Christ-like. And I'm glad tonight to share his name. And more than his name, I want his touch upon my life. I'm more than just saying I'm a Christian. And more than just going about the daily routine of living in life and having a name that says it's like the name of Jesus. It's like the name above every name. I want the touch that comes from the Master's hand. Amen. I'm glad one day I don't just carry a name. I carry a blood and a heart change. Amen. My heart was changed when I gave my life to Jesus. Amen. And because he touched me, and because he saved me, and because he cleansed me, and because he washed me as white as snow, now I can proudly say that I'm a Christian. I'm not just a Christian in name. I'm not just a Christian because of where I was born. I'm a Christian because I've been touched by the Master's hand. I've been saved and redeemed. I've been purchased. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And tonight I just glorify and praise him. I want to worship him. But you know what God told Moses to tell Aaron and his sons to do? He says, I want you to bless my people in my name. He said, I want my name to be upon them. You know, God wants to bless you tonight. Amen. He wants to be a blessing. More than anything in this world, he wants to be a blessing to you. Yes. Amen. I tell my Sunday school class all the time, I tell you, you know, the Bible is a book of restoration. Mm-hmm. Amen. Why is that? Because God wants to bless his people. Yes. Amen. We see from the fall of man to God's plan of salvation. Mm-hmm. It's a story. It's a book of restoration. We see from the backslidden sinner to the repentant sinner that has found grace and mercy once again at the foot of Jesus. It's a book of restoration. We see our instruction to restore one another unto fellowship when fellowship has been broken. It's a book of restoration because God wants to bless his people. He wants his people to be near to him. He wants his people to desire him. And he tells Moses to tell Aaron and his sons to bless the children of Israel, to bless his people. And he says, bless them on this wise. And I want you to know tonight that God still wants to bless his people. Amen. And he'll bless you. It says in verse number 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. That word bless means to have an abundance poured out upon you. That word bless means to have your soul and your heart lifted up and encouraged. That word bless means that you've gotten more than what you deserve because somebody loves you and cared about you and wanted to do something for you to be a blessing to you. The Bible says the Lord bless thee, not with just material blessing, not with just a fame and fortune, not with just your daily provision and the things you need in life, but his very touch upon your life, his very presence among you and with you and keeping you and watching you. The Lord wants to be a blessing to you. Amen. Amen. In every part of our life, in our entire being, and in the individual as a whole, God wants to pour a blessing out. And the only way that we can allow God to be a blessing to us is for us to get out of the way and keep us out of the way. Amen. So that God can bless us. You know what the biggest hindrance to my blessings are? Right here. You know what the biggest hindrance to your blessings are? You right there. Amen. Amen. Here you go, Ernie. Ernie back here going like this. Amen. And we need to realize that God's desire is to bless us. It says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. He gives us our provision. He gives us our protection. He gives us his presence. And praise God, when we have that, we have everything. And when we realize where it all comes from, praise God, we realize just how blessed we really are. He said, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Praise God, I'm glad that we find favor in the sight of God to the point where he wants to watch over us and keep us. He wants to keep us from safety. He wants to keep us from sin. He makes a way for us to be blessed and to stay apart from the things that hinder the blessings. But many times we get in the way. Amen. One old fellow told me one time, says, you know, most people, they see the Ten Commandments as a prohibition instead of a protection. Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen. We look at what God's Word says, and we look at the don'ts, and all we see is the don'ts. All the sees we can't have, we can't do's, we can't go's. And we miss the reason why. Amen. Because God wants to keep us. And God wants to protect us. And God wants us to be blessed. But so many times, he's trying to keep us. And he's trying to protect us. And he's trying to provide for us. But where do we run? We run over here. Look at the children of Israel. He was with them. His presence was there. The pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day. And yet when things happened, even though God was right there, his presence was right amongst them. Even though he had made provision for them and given them the manna every day, they would cry about going back to Egypt. They would rather be in bondage. They would rather be enslaved in Egypt and eat the leeks and the onion and the buttermilk and the cornbread and all that stuff that they had back in Egypt than they would to be where God wanted them to be and to experience his blessings. See, that's what we was preaching. That's what we was getting at this morning. God wants to be a blessing. God has something for you. But we got to choose wisely. We got to choose the better part. We got to make a choice that allows God to pour his blessings out upon us and keep us where we need to be. He said, the Lord bless thee. He wants to bless thee. This is God's hand. This is what I want you to tell my people. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord wants his blessing upon you. How many here can say I've been blessed? Amen. Amen. How many here know that you've been kept? You look back and you see things that have happened and you know it was the hand of God that has kept you. Amen. I tell you, we serve a great God. We serve a God that loves us so immensely. He wants to bless us and keep us. And then in verse number 25, he says, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. That phrase, to make his face shine about you, it gives the picture. It gives the indication. It gives the meaning. You know someone that they look at you and they smile. And when they smile, you just say, wow. You know, that's somebody that really cares about me. That's somebody that really loves me. I can tell by the look on their face. The Lord make his face to shine. Nobody, and I mean nobody in this world will ever love you like the Lord loves you. Amen. Amen. Nobody, and I mean nobody, and mothers, they talk about a mother's love. I tell you what, a father's love is pretty strong too. Amen. Amen. But moms talk about a mother's love and how no matter what happens in their children's lives, a mother will always love their child and is always endeared to their child. And that's a pretty picture, but it's not true. Mothers throw their children away all the time. Amen. We see it happen by the millions in America. We can read through the Bible and we can read through the passages where they throw their children into the fire to Molech.
You see, nobody will ever truly and fully and completely love you like the Lord loves you. And no one can ever show you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. No one can ever let you know how much you're loved like the Lord can really let you know how much you're loved. Amen. Sometimes it's a mother's look, her endearing gaze that lets you know that you're loved. Sometimes it's a dear friend that just gives you that smile that just melts your heart. So sometimes it's a mentor or a teacher that gives you that look of approval that says, ah, you've got it. Amen. And it just warms your heart because you know that you have pleased them and that they look upon you and they're pleased because you've accomplished something or you've done something. When we walk with the Lord and when we stay close to him and we follow him and obey him, he looks upon us and he has that endearing gaze. He looks upon us with that loving countenance. He looks upon us and we know when we read through his word and we see how God sees us. He sees us as wretched and broken and torn and shatters in pieces. But he loves us anyway. Amen. Amen. No greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, broken, shattered, amen, filthy, deserving of nothing, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world. God is love. Amen. And he wants you to know that. He wants you to see that in him. You know, many times we picture God, and our picture of God is the Michelangelo's old gray-haired man with his hand reaching down in judgment upon the world. Sometimes we get the picture of God as the mighty arm, the muscular arm that's reaching through the clouds from heaven with the dividers, setting the world in its paces on the left hand and the right hand. Sometimes we get all these pictures of God that aren't the picture of God that he wants us to have. He wants us to know how much we're loved. And he wants to let his face, his countenance, to shine upon you and be gracious. Oh my, we could spend all night talking about the grace of God. Aren't you thankful tonight that we serve a gracious God? Aren't we thankful tonight that when we fail him, and we fail him miserably. We fail him every day. We fail him all the time. He doesn't just throw us away. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that he's gracious and he delivers again and again and again? Look how many times the children of Israel just totally and completely messed up. And God would forgive them. You know what that's called? Grace. How many times they deserved just to be stricken from the face of the earth. And God delivered them again. It's called grace. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. God delivers. They go back to the same thing. God forgives. Man goes back to the same thing. God makes a way. Man goes his own way. God wants to do for us. But do we really want what God has for us? He's gracious. God makes a way. And God provides a way. God provides a path for us to walk upon. He provides a place for us to worship. He provides people to be a support group. I like the way that Brother Brad used his daughter to talk about the adoption. and how she became. She's a different color. Different culture. But yet when they adopted her, now a lot of them kids, they got her adopted. That's one of the givingest, lovingest bunches I've ever known. But when he talked about adoption and what God did for him, man, that just blessed my heart. Why did God do that? Because he's gracious. Because he loves us. Because he cares for us. He lets us come into a family where we're loved and we have a support group around us. But we don't want that sometimes. He gives us individuals in our life. They give of their time, give of their effort, give of all that they are to help us, to support us, to be gracious unto us. But we reject it so many times. See, God always does what will bless his people when his people will allow him to bless them. He's gracious unto us. He gives us 1 John 1:9. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know how many times he gives that to us? As many times as we need it. As many times as we need to come. As many times as we need to find forgiveness. We can find forgiveness because he's a gracious God and he loves us and he wants us to know his grace. He don't want us just to know the old man upstairs that's full of wrath and vengeance, but he wants us to know the God whose face will shine upon us and whose grace has been poured out upon us. I tell you tonight, if you don't know anything else about God, know this, that he looks at you with a love and an admiration for what he's committed or for what he's created and what he's done and what he wants to do, and he wants to pour his grace out upon you because he loves you. He said, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." In Hebrew, that term there, "the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee," means that the Lord gives you his undivided attention. The Lord looks directly at you. You know, God is omnipotent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He knows how many of you are sitting here tonight. Man, I wish we'd get out of here. He already knows that. I wish I'd never come. I wish I was at home watching the ball game or whatever's on tonight. You know, he already knows that. So it don't matter who knows it. God knows it. He knows everything. And he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And you know, if God's omnipotent, he can do all things. There's nothing restrained with God. And he wants to let his countenance come upon you. In this room, 30, 40 people, whatever we got, he looks right at Rick. And his focus, his undivided focus, is completely on Rick. His countenance to be upon you. But you know what? Not only is he individually focused on Rick and what Rick's heart's desire and what Rick's needs are and Rick's need to talk to him and to bring things to him, he's with each and every one of us. Amen. You're not left out. God's countenance is upon you. And upon you, and upon you, and upon you. He looks at each and every one of us as individuals, and he knows us as individuals, and he wants you to realize that you're so important to him that it's just like nobody else existed. When he looks at you, when he sees you, he's there for you. Amen. He's there for your need.
He's there to hear your prayer. You know he's never too busy. Amen. Amen. You know he's never unable. Amen. 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 You know he's never unknowing. Amen. Amen. Lift up his countenance upon thee. Do you realize tonight that no matter where you are in your life, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter where you've been, where you're coming from, no matter what you're doing, you have God's undivided attention. And he's just waiting to hear from you. Amen? You ever have company come and you're so tired, you're maybe in the middle of a nap and got woke up, and you're so tired, and they're sitting there and they're talking, and all you want to do is finish your nap, or all you want to do is go to sleep. Anybody else ever have that problem? All the time. Uh-huh. Yeah. Or the phone rings, and it's one of those individuals that goes on and 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 on. And trust me, we get them. Amen. We get them. And you just want to go to sleep. And you just want to kick back and take a nap. I was tired. I didn't get out of here. I'm telling you, it was 10:15 last night, something like that, before I could get the last ones out the door. And they was just standing and talking and fellowship. And I hate to, you know, I hate not to let people fellowship. But, you know, like Brother Jim said, by 9 o'clock he was home in bed. You know. And they were talking and talking and fellowshipping and talking. And, you know, one would dwindle out the door and I'm standing back there. And my wife's sick. I want to go home. I got all this food in the car. I got to get in the house and junk. I want to go home. You know, and they're talking. I'm tired. I didn't sleep the night before. I was telling Brother Steve, you know, I was having leg cramps all night. Just overdone it. And I just didn't sleep. So last night I was hoping I'd get a good night's sleep. And then I had to go home and, you know, finish doing some studying for Sunday school and the lesson and message this morning and everything. I got in bed late. And I got up early this morning to do some more studying. And I said, well, after church, I'm going right home. After church, I'm going right home and get a bite to eat. I'm going to study for a while. And I'm going to take a nap. Phone rings. Uncle Dennis, my niece from Tennessee. We're going to stop by and see you for a few minutes. Is that all right? Yeah, baby, come on over, honey. And they're sitting there. And I'm like this. Yeah. 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 I tell you what, you do a lot of reading when you're tired. It's hard to stay awake. But you know what? God is never that way. God is never that way. You have his full attention all the time. Amen. He wants you to know that he knows. He wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to know that he cares about you. He wants you to know that you have his undivided attention because of who you are. You're his people. And give thee peace. Security, comfort, contentment, ease. Regardless of what the world says, know that God cares. Regardless of the blame that is levied on him, know that God cares. Regardless of what you think, feel, or believe, know that God cares. You know, when death happens in your family, so many times people get angry and they begin to blame God. Amen. I hear people, well, I'm mad at God. I said, well, what are you mad at God for? Well, he let my so-and-so, he let my loved one die. I said, well, won't you blame the one that's guilty of letting your loved one die? Why do you blame God? God give every one of us exactly what we want. He give us a free will. He give us a free desire to do anything that we wanted to do. But you know who ushered death into the world? The devil.
when he lied to Eve and said, "You shall not surely die." Don't blame God. Place the blame where it belongs. God wants you to be at peace. Man, if you've heard me say it a million times here in the last week or so, Rich died, and his wife told me, said, "You know, I've prayed," she's told me every time I see her, said, don't stop praying for him, Blade. Don't stop praying for him. "I've been praying for him for 50 years. Don't stop praying for him. I've asked you all to pray for him here." Y'all know that. Had a burden for him. And she told me, she turned right in front of him. She said, "I told God if it took putting him on his deathbed." Now, she went through cancer and heart issue all at the same time. Had to have a bypass surgery in the midst of going through chemotherapy and everything. She was that bad of shape. They didn't think she was going to live at all. And she pulled through that and realized how fragile life was. He said, "I prayed to God if it took putting him on his deathbed for him to get saved, Blade, that's what it's going to be. And if that's where we are, then that's what it's going to be." Old hardhead wouldn't accept Jesus when I witnessed to him. But a sister-in-law came in the next day and witnessed to him. And he got saved. Amen. And you know what? That family's at peace. Even their unsaved son was here last night, praise God. Even their unsaved son is at peace knowing that his father accepted Christ Jesus as a Savior. That's what Jesus wants to give you. Is that peace when the storms of life are raging. When the doctor says that you've got some incurable disease, you can look and say, "Whatever the Lord's will is." Amen. Amen. And be at peace. I seen my mother-in-law, no matter what happened in her life, no matter what came her way. Now, you mess with her kids or her grandkids, it's like messing with a wet hen. Amen. I mean, she'd be all over you. But she was at peace with everything because she gave it all to Jesus. Let his countenance be upon you and give you peace. He wants you to have peace tonight. You carry his name. He said, "I want you to place my name up." We already carry his name. Child of God, you're a Christian. You carry his name. But he wants you to have peace. He wants you to have peace because you know that you have his undivided attention. He wants you to have peace because you know that his grace is poured out upon you. He wants you to have peace because you know that his face is going to shine upon you. You can have peace because you know that he keeps you. You can have peace because you know that in the midst of everything, he's looking to you and looking to your goodwill. And irregardless of what the world says, irregardless of what the world does, irregardless of what your heart tells you. And sometimes we're troubled in heart about where we are with God. Know that even when he brings conviction into your heart and into your life, he does it because he loves you. He does it because he cares about you. He does it because he has your best interest at heart. He protects you. He watches you. He keeps you. And he wants you to know how much he loves you. Let the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance unto thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. And I will bless them. I'm thankful tonight that I belong to the blessed crowd. Amen. Amen. I'm not like some folks that leave church and they go to church, they go through a form and a fashion, and they leave and they don't know what they got. I know I'm blessed. Amen. Amen. I know I'm cared for. I know I'm loved, and I'm thankful tonight. We stand on our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Our all